Welcome to Saved by the 90s from KX93.5 FM, a new show celebrating 90s and early 2000s nostalgia for the millennial generation. Each show will highlight a specific element of pop culture from that era and interview a notable guest about it.
Saved by the 90s!
On today's show, it's not just one TV show, not one movie or video game, it's thousands of them. Our guest is a man who you don't even know that you know, because you've never seen his face. But you do know him. You know him as Raphael in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe as Yakko in the Animaniacs, as Pinky in Pinky and the Brain, as Carl Weezer in Jimmy Neutron, and as many characters in video games like Super Smash Bros. And Metal Gear Solid. And more recently, you know him as Snowball in the cartoon Rick and Morty. His name is Rob Paulsen, and he's a voice actor whose career has spanned three decades and too many roles to even recall. So today, we go back to a time when cartoons were actually drawn on paper. We recall the weekend mornings. We would wake up early just to see the new episode of our favorite show. We try to remember all the countries in the song Yakko's World. Yes, he's going to sing it for us. I'm Tyler Russell, and today on Saved by the 90s, a history of our favorite cartoons and games from a man who's been in almost all of them.
We're singing to the max, there's baloney in our slacks. We're animating, totally insane, cockamamie, animaniacs, those are the facts.
Rob Paulsen was born in Detroit. He is married and has one son, Ashton. And growing up in Grand Blanc, Michigan, Rob sang in choirs throughout his youth and adolescence and began performing in his grammar schools. He thought he may grow up to be a singer. But his idol growing up was Gordie Howe of the Detroit Red Wings, so being a professional hockey player was also on the table. But as Golden Pipes landed him his first acting gig in 1983 with the miniseries G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, where he played Snow Job and Tripwire, then it was The Smurfs, Fraggle Rock, Johnny Quest, and the rest is history. So what does Rob Paulsen think about the fact that a career that basically fell into his lap has lasted this long, that we even care to talk to him about it? Here's Rob.
I'm really kind of utterly humbled by the fact that people, A, remember, and that they take the time to make a fuss. I mean, I was just really feeling as though I was an incredibly fortunate actor and thought, oh my God, I fooled another producer and they've hired me for this show. Don't tell anybody. And here we are now 30 years later after I've been doing it. And the folks who were little kids and are now grown up, such as you, are now really interested, I think, in who it was, myself and many other folks that produced the things that were so important to them and carry such beautiful nostalgia now. But then they also have their children. I do personal appearances all the time. And mom and dad will come and dressed as Raph and Donnie, and now their kids will come dressed as Mikey and Leo. You know, it's crazy. At least even in that single franchise, it is really amazing how, no pun intended, well, maybe a little pun intended, how evergreen that franchise is. And it's just nuts. It's arguably as big now as it's ever been.
If you're not quite catching on, the green pun is revolving around Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Rob was Raphael in the original and has been recast on the new Nickelodeon show as Donatello some decades later.
The show on Nickelodeon, which has really become hugely popular, and I'm Donatello now. So
right.
25 years later, people are nice enough to hire me for a brand new turtle, and so now I figure if I live to be 100, I can knock all four of them out. We have a pretty good cast there, and we're doing a couple of crossover episodes in which the original voice cast come back to meet the turtles in a different dimension, and so I get to act opposite myself, which is pretty fun.
So is it easy for you to switch back? Like, you know, Raphael and Donatello sound different, obviously, but you've got to dig back 30 years in your past and be Raphael again for that particular episode.
No, it's the hackneyed phrase. It is kind of like falling off a bike or riding a bike or riding in the turtle van, as it were. It really comes right back, especially when you hear the other guys. You know, when Barry Gordon and Cam Clark and Thompson Coleman start doing their respective characters, you just slide right in. And it was a huge part of my life. I worked on that show for probably 8 or 9 years. So if not every day, every week I was turtling to some extent, whether it was a video game or more episodes or PSAs or things. So it was a huge, huge part of my life, and it was a great opportunity for my son and me when he was, he's 31 now, so he was like prime turtle age, and it was
right.
A gas to have a little boy whose dad was Raphael for both of us. And so I was a big hit, as you can imagine, at career day.
you were probably the biggest hit of career day of all time. Yeah.
Oh, man. And I used to kind of feel bad for the other, the other moms and dads. They'd come and say, okay, this is Johnny Perlstein's father. He's an investment banker. And this is Lori Wood's mother, and she is a CPA. And this is Ash Paulson's dad, and he's Raphael. Oh, my God. So it was pretty cool, you know.
Now, I'm really glad Rob is a good sport because, of course, we're going to ask him to do every voice that we talk about today. So we'll start with both of those turtles.
Of course, there's Raphael of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles who says things like, hold the phone. I think we're on the same side. Turtle power! And now today, I'm Donatello. The voice is a little higher, a little nerdier. Oh, also, I've got a human girlfriend. We have an interspecies romance, and that would be April O'Neil. She's really hot and makes me kind of all, I don't know, mushy in my turtle shell, as it were.
Heroes in a half shell, turtle power.
Man, it is fun to hear that. It just makes me grin from ear to ear, and I'm sure I'm not alone in enjoying the nostalgia of voices and sounds from childhood that we forgot how much we loved. Rob still does speaking engagements all over the world at places like Comic-Con and the World Animation Celebration, where he's met with resounding laughter when he breaks into an old character. He's signed thousands and thousands of autographs. But why was the decade so special? Why are we rabid fans about 90s TV? Was it really the fact that cartoons were better in that decade? Or is it just a coincidence that our generation can't stop thinking or talking about it? Rob tries to explain exactly that.
To me, I think it's largely due to the fact that there was this huge boom all of a sudden in the late 80s and through the 90s. Because when I came to California in 1978, I think, ostensibly to do live action, like virtually all of us who do what I do now, we all started on stage doing theater, stand-up, improv, music, all of which I did, and then you kind of find your way into animation and realize that, wow, this is cool. Nobody cares what I look like, and I can be hired for things with my voice and my talent that I would never be considered for on camera. But my timing, I think, was pretty excellent because remember when I came to L.A., it was Saturday morning on ABC, CBS, and NBC, three major networks. There were syndicated after-school shows, but nothing like now. And of course, at PBS with Sesame Street and the other electric company and all that. However, man, oh man, in the 80s and late 80s and 90s, it started to take off. When I got here, there was no cable, no satellite, no DVDs, no video games. The only video games were Pong, you know?
Yeah.
And the only thing that made those interesting was smoking a giant bowl and drinking a couple of Coronas. And so none of that was around. But I got in at the right time, and the first shows I did were big syndicated shows, Transformers and G.I. Joe. And those were not unlike Turtles, shows that essentially became half-hour commercials to sell action figures. But I'm a capitalist. I get that. You know, if you can combine great nostalgia and things that have a good message and are entertaining and also sell a lot of product, then, you know, then you got, that's kind of what you want.
Right.
So I believe it was because there was all of this product that just came out. So now people my age have, actors who've done what I do, have their fingers in, oh my God, so many pies. You know, my IMDb is not, what's the word I'm looking for? I appreciate the fact that people say, oh my God, look here, IMDb, but I humbly sort of suggest that that's as a result of being available for all this new stuff that came around. So
yeah.
If you look, my IMDb, Maurice LaMarche, Frank Welker, certainly, Tress McNeil, all the folks who've been around that long, our respective IMDb's are pretty enormous because it was this huge boom. So I would go from doing Johnny Quest in the morning to The Mask in the afternoon. The next day I'd do The Tick. in the morning. In the afternoon, I would do Pinky and the Brain. And the next morning, I'd do Animaniacs. In the afternoon, do Ninja Turtles. And the next day, do Mighty Max. In the afternoon, do, you know, Darkwing Duck. And so you all of a sudden, if you're lucky enough to be working and have a saleable skill set, then, you know, part of what my stock in trade is being versatile. And if you're able to do that, sing in character, do dialects, then, you know, word gets around pretty fast. And they go, hey, this guy that I just worked with on Goof Troop was singing this cool song and character, so let's see if he can do that in, you know, Smurfs. So they call up and say, hey, we got this little song in Smurfs. Can you say, sure, I'll do that, and listen to it. Go, oh, this guy's good. Okay, let's bring him back. So it just feeds on itself. And so while I'm incredibly, I'm what I am is the grateful recipient of I think, really good timing.
Right.
And my skills were ready to do that, and I'd had a lot of training on stage and otherwise before I really got into it. So it wasn't an accident. It was a happy accident that I came out at the right time. But as they say, luck is when opportunity meets preparedness, and I think I'm a proper example of that because I was utterly ready to work. You know, something like, and I don't mean to cast aspersions, but I think an example is like Beavis and Butthead was hot as hell for a couple of years, but it's kind of one-dimensional. And everybody gets that. You know, even my son, when he finally watched these, okay, so I know what's going to happen. It's a fart joke. And somebody's going to say something that they should not have said, and they're going to laugh about it. Okay, what's next? And I'm sure there are people who love Beavis and Butthead, but I think why people like, especially Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain, is that they are shows that were written on a couple of levels and did not, on purpose, did not condescend to the audience. That is, that they assumed that though there were children, in quotes, watching the show, a lot of times there are adults a parent would be watching too, just like I did with my dad with Rocky and Bullwinkle and Looney Tunes. So now I can't even tell you how many people I meet, so there must be millions out there who are now 30 and watch Pinky and the Brain and Animaniacs and say, oh my God, I totally didn't get this cultural reference when I was 11.
Absolutely.
And the songs are so sophisticated. And that was absolutely as a result of Steven Spielberg and Tom Ruger's desire to use that model. He used the Looney Tunes and Rocky and Bullwinkle model so that it, and the Flintstones, same thing. And that you can watch these things. Some of these things are 60 years old, man. And they're still entertaining.
And the prime example of that, of what has stuck with us as adults from the Animaniacs, is two things, right? It's the 50 State Capitol song, which, by the way, is sung by Wacko, not Yakko, and Yakko's World, which Rob still remembers, and if sung correctly, lists every single country on planet Earth. So here he is with some of that.
Hello, nurse. Yakko Warner here. And if you're not busy, you can follow me, because today I'm going to be heading to the United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil.
When did you know, when you were doing all these voices and you were involved in all these projects, when did you know that some of it would become such a cultural icon? When did you know that it was a smash?
Boy, that's a great idea. Well, Turtles, it was interesting. Turtles was a clean sheet of paper, so I was aware vaguely of this kind of underground comic book that Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird had put out. But I'm not a comic book guy. I'm an actor and a singer. And I got the gig and thought, oh, this is kind of fun. And, you know, the other guys I knew, and we'd all worked together before. We were friends, so we had a blast. And I think after we... As I recall, there were 5 episodes done, paid for by the company, Playmates Toys, who still makes the action figures. And they paid for 5 episodes to be aired Monday through Friday during Christmas break of, I believe, 1988 to January of 1999. So we recorded them in 1987. They aired December, January of 88, 89. And I think they were... The reviews were kind of like, oh, okay, another kids show, action show. And the reviews and the strength of the you know, sales or toy sales, whatever, however they measure those things. It was only 5 episodes. Apparently the toy company felt like there was enough interest to do 8 more, so they kind of rounded out a block of 13, which then enables you to rerun them 4 times, which ends up to be 52 weeks a year. So we did 8 more. And then that was, I think, for the following year, like 89, 90. And then it really went boom. So like 90, 91, we just were caught off guard and said, holy shit, this thing is really getting huge. Mm. And I knew that because, you know, pretty soon it not only did my kid and his friends just freak out over it. You know, my kid had all the weapons and outside pretending he was Raphael. And every other day I'd get a phone call. My son would get a phone call. It would go something like this. It would say, hey, how you doing? Yeah. No, he really is. No, yeah, he is. Yeah, hang on a second. Hey, Dad, Jeremy wants to talk to Raphael. Hey, Jeremy, it's Raphael. Dude, go get yourself a hot fudge marshmallow tuna fish pizza, dude. Turtle power! And then he'd say, see, I told you. Yeah, okay, bye. So we got those calls a lot. And, hey, Dad, would you sign a couple of pictures for kids at school? And it was just absolutely wonderful to be part of something that went from zero to still a cultural icon in terms of entertainment. So I'd say probably a year and a half into it, we knew that we were kind of riding this crazy, you know, tiger. And, man, it's paid off huge dividends. Obviously, you know, you make a little money, that's great. But boy, oh boy, the things I've gotten to do as a result of that show, I'm very involved in children's charities, and I've gotten to visit so many kids in hospitals, and not just me, you know, a lot of us. But the thing that's so great is when you have those one-on-one experiences, and even now, as I say, literally yesterday, I met a couple of people who were Pink in the Brain fanatics, and we had no idea who each other were, and as soon as they found out, they were out of their minds. And All it was happy. It was a pure expression of joy between strangers who have this goofy connection, and the same thing happened with the children in the hospital, you know, whatever they were struggling with or their parents we're struggling with.
Like we said earlier, Rob's a great sport. He never hesitates to do any voice you ask him to do from his entire past, and we will do that in a moment. We'll go through pretty much every character. But there's a reason why. There's a story that he tells of why he's so willing to do that.
When I was 27, 28, and I got to work with Mel Blanc, I was sitting next to him at Hanna-Barbera working on a Jetsons project, and I said, Mr. Blank, I hope I'm not bothering you, overstepping my bounds, but would you mind, before I got it out of my mouth, he said, what's up, Doc? And God almighty, it just blew my mind, and it was the coolest thing, and it made me feel happy and young and nostalgic, and it was transportational, man. It was crazy. And so now I understand exactly what that's like. So if somebody says, I love me, oh, you do, isn't that nice? Narf, and they just laugh. So I'm very, very lucky.
Okay, I don't think we can leave him in suspense any longer. We have the voice actor from so many notable cartoon characters and video games. So let's just do them all. Do every one you remember, Rob, if you don't mind. Why don't we start with Pinky?
Okay, well, it's such an exciting day to be here on your show. And I'm glad we won't be talking all day because I've got some place to go. See, I'm not the stupid one. I just made that up on the spur of the moment. Then, of course, there's Carl Weezer, who is the little fat guy with the inhaler on Jimmy Neutron. And I still like that character. Oddly enough, chicks dig me. Not real chicks, maybe chickens. But I get a lot of phone numbers, so there's that.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who are fans of Fairly Odd Parents, my name is Mark Chang. I am from Yugopotamia.
I'm trying to think of something else that... I know. I played a character that was a really good show in the 90s, a show called The Tick, and I was Arthur, so I guess I was his sidekick, as it were, and my pretty much every line was something like, I don't know, Tick, I don't think that's such a good idea. That was pretty much it.
I was PJ on Goof Troop. I was the big... Something about fat guys with weird voices. I did two of them. This was PJ, and don't pay much attention, but if you close it up and make it even nerdier, it becomes Carl Weezer. So they're kindred spirits. But yeah, Goof Troop was cool.
Do you remember Gray Fox from Metal Gear Solid?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing that you mentioned that. My kid came home one day from college, I think it was. He said, Dad. I said, yeah, what's up, man? Are you okay? He goes, I had no idea. What? He said, you were Gray Fox in Metal Gear Solid. And I didn't remember. I said, what is that? What I was? And what is that? And he said, oh, my God, are you kidding me? The Metal Gear, I'm not a gamer. My kid is like a pro gamer. And
And so anyway, he pulled it up on the screen. He said, "That's you." And I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that's me." He says, "Oh, my God, that's just so freaking awesome." And I'm thinking, all the shit I've done, this one goofy character on, you know, but that also, I learned a lot. Because now I understand why guys like Troy Baker and Jennifer Hale and Nolan North, man, these guys are becoming rock stars as a result of their performances. And they should be. They're uber talented. But I understand now the gaming culture and how invested people get. But holy shit, I have people all over the world who will bring up at every event half a dozen times, 10 times, a Gray Fox thing for me to sign. And so I don't remember the speech, but all they want to hear me say is,
yeah.
And isn't that great? And I get the reaction that you just gave me. It's fantastic. But all I have to do, it's like saying, "Narf," or "Hello, nurse," or "Turtle Power," or "Snake." It just makes people happy. And
dude, it makes me smile. You're absolutely right. I mean, the whole time you were doing that, I'm just grinning because it's just this memory genes that we have.
Yeah.
That are just triggered and it just takes you back to a time where nothing was wrong and everything was okay and you had these characters as your company, as your friends. And it's great.
You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you mentioned that because what happens quite often, and I did not know this until I started, you know, putting myself out there more, and I really love it because, you know, hey, everybody likes to be made a fuss over. But what I really, really crave is the interaction with fans. And then I get these stories, and they're kind of similar to what you had mentioned, and often they go even farther. What I mean by that is that I'll inevitably, at whatever show I'm attending, irrespective of how many people are there, I will meet usually half a dozen to a dozen people to whom some of the characters just that I've done have been the difference between, like they'll say, it'll be either that as a result of the characters, they had a really happy fond memory, as you suggested, or they'll say, "But for those characters, my childhood would have been miserable."
Wow.
And man, I mean, you know, you hear somebody say, "Look, man, the only thing that got my mother for 6 months of chemo was Pinky in the Brain." Or "My parents went through a divorce and my brother and I, man, we hung on to each other and we got through that because of Turtles," or "I was bullied and Turtles, you know, got me into martial arts, and I feel good about myself." And so when you do that character, now that I'm 35 years old, it takes me to a place that but for that show, I honestly don't know what I would have filled that void with. And so, my God, what a crazy compliment and a validation of the work that goes so far beyond action figures and the paycheck. You know, it's just... And I'm grateful to be around to hear that. I'm just blown away. So when nice people like you take the time to talk to me about it, I get this great opportunity to essentially say thank you for not only watching and making sure my, you know, kid had braces, but thank you for allowing me to do something that had such a profound impact on you. And thereby, you know, I'm getting paid back by you guys. And it's just a fantastic synergy that happens as a result of these really wonderful characters. And I'll also make it clear, man, I don't write them and I don't draw them. I'm just an actor.
Yeah.
So credit where it's due.
I think that's a fantastic place to close it, man. I mean, it's such a pleasure to have you again. And Rob Paulson, voice actor from your memory, from your childhood, all those characters that we just named. This has been Saved by the 90s. Thank you very much, sir. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And the 90s saved me, so now we're even.